From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. In a few hours, those Friday into Saturday morning open lines. The world is waiting. Get ready for this ride. Well, here's some stories of the day. My gosh, we've been following the recall of this wet pet food. Now, tests turning up are showing that rat poison in the pet food suspected of causing kidney failure in dogs and cats across the country, killing at least 16. The toxin, which is used to kill rats in some countries, is not registered for killing rodents here in the United States, though it is used as a cancer drug, according to the EPA. Officials in New York did not say how they believe that this rat poison got into the now recalled pet food, though they say no criminal investigations had been launched. You know, the likely source of an E. coli outbreak in spinach that killed three people and sickened more than 200 people in the United States apparently came from a small cattle ranch about 30 miles from California's central coastline. Authorities for the first time said they had isolated the deadly E. coli strain on a ranch in San Benito County near a field the ranch leased to Mission Organics, a spinach grower in North Carolina. A mother there has 2 months to get her 250-pound son's weight down before Polk County social workers decide whether to remove him from her home. Justin Painter is only 7 years old. Joyce Painter says she's taken her son to different doctors over the past 4 years, but no one has been able to pinpoint, she says, the cause of his obesity. She also says she keeps her son active. Painter said that she began noticing her son putting on a lot of weight when he was 3 years old, 250 pounds, 7 years old. A sharply divided House has voted to order President Bush to bring combat troops home from Iraq next year, a victory for Democrats in an epic war power struggle with Congress's boldest challenge yet to the administration's policy. Ignoring a White House veto threat, lawmakers voted very close, 218 to 212, mostly along party lines, for a binding war spending bill requiring that combat operations cease before September of 2008 or earlier. If the Iraqi government does not meet certain requirements, Democrats said it was time to heed the mandate of their election sweep last November, which gave them control of Congress. Iran says it took 15 British servicemen hostage at gunpoint because they had crossed into Iranian waters. The 8 Royal Navy sailors and 7 Marines were seized by Iranian troops while carrying out a routine inspection in what the British say were Iraqi waters. According to reports on Iran state television, the British envoy has been summoned to the foreign ministry in Iran to discuss what they call the illegal entry into Iranian waters of military personnel. An Iranian official said the soldiers had been detained by Iraq's border authorities for further investigation. I wonder if this is the beginning of something much bigger. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has canceled a planned visit to the United Nations, blaming a delay in U.S. visas being issued to the new crew of his airplane. Ahmadinejad wanted to speak to the U.N. Security Council before a vote scheduled for Saturday on sanctions against Iran. Iran says it will still try to get high-level representation to the United Nations, most likely the foreign minister. Sailors in blue lined the deck of the aircraft carrier USS John F. Kennedy on Friday as guns boomed to commemorate the decommissioning of the Big John after nearly 40 years of service. Officers gathered in front of a screen displaying a large American flag, and speakers echoed the words of the carrier's namesake, including the fame line from President Kennedy's 1961 inauguration, in which he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." If you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the feature story that Sean has posted about the rocket man taking to the skies. It's a Swiss pilot. He's turned himself into a human rocket by strapping a pair of wings and 2 jet engines to his back. Ouch. He's 45 years old. He says it's absolutely fantastic. There's a picture of him flying all over the place. Man, that guy is bold. French Space Agency is opening up its secret X-Files, three decades of research into UFO sightings, including police reports, witness sketches, and maps that scientists use to search for logical explanations behind mysterious phenomena in the skies. The agency, known by the French initials of CNES, said it went public with the documents to draw the scientific community's attention to unexplained cases. They got bombed with their website. It's very slow these days. Among the unexplained cases, one of the most perplexing concerned a 1994 Air France flight. While flying over Paris, the airplane's crew noticed a large brown red disc hovering in the horizon and constantly changing shape. The case has never been explained to this day. A single Chinese man is advertising on the internet for a female tomb mate so he won't be alone after death. He's 45 years old. He says, "I was chatting with friends in a bar and we were talking about life and death, and they said it's sad to be all alone even after death. Well, that night I came back home, I had an idea. I thought about it seriously and came up with the idea of finding a tomb mate." He posted a message online saying he is single, sociable, and wants a female to share his tomb, and left his mobile phone number. No idea how many people have called. Also, no idea if he's looking for a live or dead tomb mate. In a moment, we're going to be talking about the other side in the psychic world with Angela Moore. She's next on Coast to Coast AM. Angela Fay Moore is a spiritual psychic from Western North Carolina. She's a frequent guest on the area radio talk shows and has been featured in several regional newspapers. Her show, Metaphysical Matters, is featured on the public radio station in Spindale, North Carolina. It's available for podcast as well. She was with me back in September, and she's back now. Hi, Angela. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for calling.
My pleasure. Angela, tonight we talk about the psychic world and all the other strange things that are out there. But what have you been doing since the last time we talked?
I've been pretty busy. I've been doing a lot of radio interviews here and there. I've been seeing a lot of folks and actually talking to some people about maybe an episode of on a TV show that features psychics and criminal things, that sort of thing, and hoping that's going to work out. So I've been kind of going at it kind of hard.
Well, tell me a little bit about your psychic life.
Oh, mercy. I don't know what there is to tell. I think it's just, as I told you before, it's a natural way of being, and I'm just kind of a walking sponge, you might say, and I kind of just go around hoping somebody's going to point me in the right direction, because when you're like this, and I think I probably told you this before, I'm not sure, but, you know, you're kind of sometimes, you know, you have control of all your faculties, and sometimes you don't because you think you do, but what you're feeling might be actually what somebody else is feeling.
There are some days I wake up, Angela, and I say to myself, where are my faculties? I mean, sometimes you just lose them.
Yeah, let me tell you, after age 40, it's kind of all downhill with that deal too, I think. But it really sometimes, it the more, this is true now, the more you are in the psychic zone, you might say, the more you're out there trying to retrieve information on purpose for people, to help people, not to mention just being your nature, okay, is like that. The more you're out there, the less grounded you are. And you really do sometimes, you're just kind of floating. You got one toehold here maybe on this planet, but the other part of you is just kind of out there. And the good news is when you're out there, a lot of times you're picking up things you're not even aware of. And people will come see you or whatever, and it's like, oh my gosh, you're the person I've had on my mind. Or, you know, now this thing I just heard on the news makes sense. You know, but a lot of times you're getting stuff and you don't even know what to do with it until something happens. So it can be kind of disconcerting, or you're driving along and you forget where you're going, you know, that sort of thing, sure, which we all do. But when I'm grounded now, you know, I'm, of course, then I'm more focused on real world. And it's kind of hard sometimes to keep that balance.
Do you have a specialty within your psychic ability? Some psychics, you know, have certain areas of expertise. How about you?
I think I am a more of a, I don't know, I hate to say garden variety, maybe that's a little common, but I tend to just be a little bit of everything. I think I tend to mirror whatever people maybe need me to be. I think, way I look at it, it's like this. My vibration is just such that I kind of become whatever I need to be for whatever situation. And I like it like that. You know, somebody asked me one time if I needed to specialize in a certain thing or whatnot, and I don't think I would wish to do that. I don't want to be confined in that way. I like having lots of adventures, psychic adventures, you might say, doing, you know, a lot of different things so that life doesn't get, you know, too mundane or boring or, you know, just too much sameness. But I have been told that people tend to like me a lot in groups now. I have had that coming back to me a lot where I kind of do the Angela thing, you might say, with a group of people. They say I tend to kind of feed off the energy, you might say, of a group or a crowd or whatever, and kind of, I don't know, it's like I kind of have a me, but I'm kind of me plus them. So I think that may be something that I'm going to pay a little more attention to.
Did you ever come across a psychic vampire, Angela, in your career?
Oh, mercy. Let me tell you. The world is full of them, all right? And some of them are not even realizing what they are. As a matter of fact, to be fair, I'm going to say probably most of them don't know. I do believe, George, that there are people out there who do know. And I think that they have intention. And some of those people might come up and touch you because it's like they have a bond. They connect with you when they touch you, and they literally suck your energy away. Some spirits, you know, that are people but disembodied, they are psychic vampires without meaning to be, because they kind of draw energy away in order to exist in the form around you. But there's other people, I'm telling you, I've had people come in and sit down with me. They're good people, maybe, okay?
Yeah.
And I want to go to sleep. That's all I can do. I have literally had to fight sleep because it's like they draw the lifeblood right out of you.
Or you have to run away.
Yeah, or, you know, I try now, you know, people will tell me, oh, Angela, do this or that. Now, I do know the techniques. You know, I do put up the bubble, and I do learn how to protect myself. But still, you're a human being. You know, you can't constantly be in this place of hypervigilance or you couldn't live your life. But, of course, I do know how, you know, if you have that happen, because I'm sure people out there may say, you know, I got this person at work, you know, and every time they're in there, it's like I'm so tired. Well, it very well could be that person is, in fact, drawing your energy. And especially if you're noticing you're getting tireder and they're getting happier and flitting about and having a good time while you're over there just about dragging, it is possible you're loaning your energy out. And what you might want to do in that situation is, you know, I tell people to imagine like a sparkle light, like right inside their body, and that it gets brighter and brighter till their whole body's glowing in their mind, you know, in their imagination. But all things is energy, and your imagination is a key to use that energy, okay? But anyway, you bring up that light and imagine that you're just surrounded in it. And this bubble can very often, George, push that energy back so that you're not being drained against your wishes.
What about some people, Angela, where on day one, they give off a lot of energy, you want to be around them. On day two, they're a psychic vampire, and you have to get away from them. I have met a couple people in St. Louis on this most recent trip who have this, and I've never seen anything like it before. I've never seen someone that you want to be next to on a Monday and you want to run away from them on a Tuesday. What's going on here?
I think that maybe their energy is in a cycle. I really can't say, because I guess that everyone is unique and every individual might have a different thing going on, but I do know what you're talking about. And I think that's actually not that uncommon, to be honest. I think people with, how do I put this, very vibrant energy can, you know, if they're into you or if they're into a certain place or a certain mood or whatever, they can excite you. But once you've had it, once you've been filled with that, once you know you have absorbed that, you might say, then it becomes like just too much maybe of a good thing, like I love maybe chocolate pudding, you know, but maybe if I eat too much of it, it's going to be kind of make me very sick after a while because it's too much of a good thing. But I think, you know, it's like maybe we get filled up, like we're sponges. We absorb all that, and then it's just too much. And then, you know, it could be, too, it's like what you thought was a charge turned out to be maybe preparation for a drain, you know?
Well, that could be, too. Tell us a little bit about your experiences in the paranormal world. Do you deal with ghosts, too, Angela, or is it merely just psychic work?
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Ghosts, Angela, ghosts more. It's me, honey.
I know that.
I would like not to meet a ghost once in a while if you want to know the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I like, no, there's spirits, and there's ghosts, and there's ghosts, okay?
What do you mean there's ghosts and there's ghosts?
Yeah, you know, you and I, we're actually spirits, but we're right now inside our physical being, all right?
I hope so.
All right, but we are actually just spiritual beings having a human experience, okay? But then you've got some people that, you know, when they die or whatever, And actually, sometimes, George, and I'm serious, sometimes people actually step out of their body in a way that they're not conscious of, like when they're very elderly, perhaps with Alzheimer's, or perhaps that they're asleep and they're perfectly healthy, but they're asleep. Sometimes spirits, believe it or not, will actually step out of their body, and other people might experience them as, in fact, a ghost. But then you have, George, what you call your common ghost, your common spirits. And that's what usually, you know, you're probably asking me about. And that's people that are basically not much different than they were when they're alive. Some of them think they're in a dream. They don't know they're dead. All time in that world, because, see, I think there are many worlds, and I think they overlay one another, see, okay? And in this world, when sometimes there kind of is a little bleeding from one world to another, okay, where we see or experience these things, some of these spirits, they're not even aware where they are. They're common because they're no different. They haven't grown. They haven't learned. They're the same. But then sometimes you can help those. Sometimes you can help them realize that they're not in a dream, and you can help them be aware that they've passed. Sometimes you can help them. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes they do know. But the thing is, like I said, they're not really grown. They're like they were when they were living. They're kind of seeing things the same, but perhaps they're not ready to go. And sometimes they're mischievous and naughty, and sometimes they're just there. Sometimes you just leave them alone. They'll leave you alone, et cetera. But then, George, you've got your higher-level spirits. For example, George, and this is where I don't mind working. Okay, like you have somebody that passed over, and maybe they are still aware of they know they're at a higher level. It's like, let me put it this way, George. I want you to imagine that in life you have blinders on, okay? But you see what you need to see in order to exist here, right? But when you die and you go up a level that you like you should, if you completed what you came to complete, the blinders are down and you see the big picture. You get it. You get all the pain. You get the point. You get it. And those spirits are higher level spirits, and those appear in a different way. And usually those are the ones that they want to leave maybe a message, or they're working out something, but they get it. They see the big picture, and they're above a common ghost, a common spirit. And those are the ones that, you know, usually you mediate for, and you can help. Sometimes they got unfinished business, but they see that they get it. It's good. But back to your question on your common ghost. Now, I'm Swanee. I did not know I could talk this much at 1 o'clock in the morning without stopping for a breath, by the way. I'm sorry. I tell you what, Georgia, tonight I had to do a presentation over in Asheville with Josh Warren. I think you know him.
I know Josh.
And I was doing this thing, and it's like I'm wound up and ready to go. I'm on a roll. But anyway, I'll tell you a story. I had to do a paranormal investigation at an inn over in Black Mountain not too long ago for a little thing over there. And this is an example for you if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Well, I went in, and I'm telling you what, that place was crawling with spirits. And they were the common kind, and they had no intention of going nowhere, you know. And it was like one of those places where I think are a hot spot. And I went in, and it was so strong, it's like the spirits were getting close to me because they recognized me for what it was. Now, sometimes they will, and they'll get real close to you because they know that you know. And that's one of those kind of vampire situations that's unintentional because, again, it will drain you. And it was so close, I had to mediate for them. You know, it's like talk, not channeling because I don't let them take me over, but very close because I wanted to see what was going on. And I felt, man, like there was a spirit there, the man, and I felt like he's down in the basement. And I felt like he banged on the pipes, and I felt like he had a cigarette pack in his T-shirt, you know, kind of a 50s kind of guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt like he was doing that. I felt like he was doing some other mischievous things. And I felt like he wanted to burn the place down. I'll just tell you, I felt like that was his intention. He just felt like he wanted to do it. Anyway, I'm telling him this stuff. Okay, set that aside. Then I start telling him about a woman there. And I said, this woman, she wants to keep the girls locked in their rooms. It's very important for her to keep them locked in. She walks the second floor, and she locks the doors. And I can feel her walking. And she thinks the girls are naughty, and she wants them to stay in. Okay, after I told them that, they got back, they told me, because I didn't know, that in fact there were these very bad banging noises that were coming from the basement pipes, and they'd had them checked, and there was no reason. It wasn't like steam. It could happen when they're not even on. There was actually a certain thing happening with the vent, and they said a fire had actually been set within the living area of this inn. It was like burn places in the carpet, you know, and there was no reason. There was no understanding of why that would happen. So evidently that was right. Then they told me there was a woman there. This had actually been a school for girls at one point, and that the, there was a woman caretaker of the place. Well, the thing is, I'm so sorry, up on the second floor, it turns out that there is a room that keeps getting locked, and people will actually go in there and try to leave their room, and they can't. The door is actually locked, and they're locked in. And actually, a little TV station over here in Asheville actually did a little story on that because they had some Russian ball players staying there, and they were actually being haunted by these things.
Oh,
they'd actually been locked into the door.
I bet they were just freaking out. Angela, stay with us. We'll talk a little bit more about the ghosts and animals. And also, you've said something about a hitchhiker. I want to find out about that. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Angela Moore and then open lines later on tonight. Now, don't forget the After Dark newsletter. Of course, you'll get, by the way, 12 great issues. But we're still giving away a couple more weeks left, and that's it. The old Art Bell interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin. Two classic shows when you subscribe to After Dark. Call 1-888-727-5505, or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back with Angela Moore, and we'll take calls next hour with Angela. Angela, tell me a little bit about what you meant by picked up hitchhiker when you sent us some notes about what you've been doing.
Oh, well, I tell you what. Today, you know, when France came out with their stuff about UFOs, that got me thinking about some of my experiences with otherworldly beings.
Right.
Now, I can't tell you I have seen a flying saucer or anything like that because I haven't. I hope to. I think I have had experiences with alien beings. I think that to my core of my being because of several things that have happened, but I had one experience. I'm telling you the truth, I don't know what it was. I don't feel it was a ghost. I thought maybe it was an angel type presence, but now in hindsight I'm wondering if it might not have been an alien being, and I think it might have been. But what happened was, George, I was very young and I worked up the road a little bit, and I went and had lunch. You know, we'd have lunch every day, and I would go up the road and take a little break away from where I was working. I was only about, I think I was only about 17 years old, okay? And I had this bad habit, George, of picking up hitchhikers. I do not know why. Looking back on it, I think I must have lost my mind, but, you know, it just seemed at the time to be a helpful thing
to do. Not very smart nowadays.
Not nowadays, and I would not recommend it. But at that time, I kind of felt, I don't know, compelled to. But, you know, it was a different time back then, and I'm in, you know, pretty small town and whatnot. But, and, you know, at that time, too, I had to, often I would, you know, see if they need any help. A lot of times I would invite them to a church even or whatever at that time. But nevertheless, I'm going on up the road, and I see this guy walking, and I didn't, it was daytime and whatnot, so it wasn't like, you know, dead of night. And he was wearing denim, had long white hair about to his collar. I could see a little past his collar. I could see that. But anyway, I decided to stop and see if he wanted to ride just a little ways up the road. So he said he did, and he got in the car. As soon as he got in the car, I mean, it felt weird. Not necessarily scary. I didn't feel like this man's going to hurt me, but just weird. I don't know the words actually to give you the feeling to what I'm saying, to describe what I felt, but it just felt wrong somehow. Not harmful, just wrong. But anyway, I told him I couldn't take him very far. And this particular road, now I live up near the mountains, so it's mostly curves and all that kind of stuff, but this is one particular place that's flat and straight. And at this particular time, there was fields. There was nothing there, you know, for a pretty good ways. It's just pretty flat. And so anyway, I'm going up and up there to the crossroad where he would at least be able to get a better ride because I didn't really have time to take him very far. And I'm talking to him, and I said, you know, maybe you'd like to come down to the church where I go to and blah, 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 this and that. And he looked at me. And he said, I know exactly where it is. And that gave me a chill, and I don't know why it gave me a chill, but it did. And when he looked at me, I'm telling you, the boy's eyes was so blue, it's almost white. And it was just, I'm telling you, it just wasn't right, okay? And it gave me, again, a chill. Not like he's going to hurt me, but it just wasn't normal. So anyway, he gets out of the car, and I was glad he did. And I turned around right there in the road, did a look, because there's no traffic, nowhere. And I pulled on away, and I looked in my rearview mirror because I wanted to look at him again and kind of memorize him, you know?
Sure.
He wasn't there. He was gone.
What do you mean he was gone?
I'm telling you, the man was gone. There was nothing, no word. There was no, he was gone. And there was no place for him to be. There was no ditch. There was no other car. There was no tree. Nothing.
Have you ever been driving, Angela, and you think you see eyes in the back seat?
No, but thank you for putting a new fear in my mind. I actually have that fear, okay, that I'm going to be in a car and I'm going to look and there's going to be somebody back there. But no, I have not had that particular experience. Although, now I'm going to tell you, I have been in the car and felt someone was with me in the car, and there wasn't. And that actually happened a couple of weeks ago. My assistant, Kim, and I were coming from someplace. Bless her heart, she drives me everywhere because, as I said, being psychic kind of makes you addle-minded sometimes. And, you know, I cannot be trusted. I'm liable to take anywhere if I'm like that. But anyway,
sure.
I tell her, I said, you know, Kim, honey, there's somebody in the car. And she said, oh, good, that's fun. And I said, no, Kim, it's not. It's not good. I don't think people should be in the car like this. And she says, oh, well, maybe not, but it just, you know, it was like a very strong presence. It wasn't a presence I necessarily felt really good about. I kind of felt like, you know, I'm not sure you're really an invited guest. But, yeah, sometimes now that happens. But to see it, no. But have you?
A couple times, Angela, a couple times.
Tell me about it.
It's an eerie feeling. I don't know if my mind made it up, or if there was actually some kind of entity back there, because when I turn around, it's gone. But it's that feeling of something looming like you just had. Mm-hmm. Truck drivers, by the way, when they've called the program, have had incredible stories of passengers, ghost passengers, sitting in their cab. And, you know, some of them have been very helpful. You know, they have wakened them up. They have grabbed the wheel, could have been a guardian angel. They've grabbed the wheel if they were going off the road. And then others feel this evil, this just high, tense evil sitting mm-hmm. next to them. Why do they seem to jump in cars and trucks and things like that?
Maybe simply because they're there and the opportunity exists. You know, I think the same thing has happened throughout time, like with trains. You know, you hear all kinds of stories about trains with ships. Maybe, perhaps, it's wherever people are and wherever their transportation is or whatever it is, it's going to attract things from other realms, other realities that are going to interact with us one way or another.
You know, what if these people happen to have died in traffic accidents near those locations where these people think they've got passengers?
Well, you know, I think that is a very good thing to point out, and I think that, you know, historically when you look up certain cases, you'll find exactly those sort of things have happened. You know, the traveler that was murdered or whatever, usually it's a death that has been maybe violent or sudden, at least, and maybe they're trying to still work out their soul purpose, you know, that they couldn't finish in the flesh, so maybe sometimes they're trying to work out things they didn't get to work out to in that way. And as I told you, where they are, you might say, well, you know, there's a story 100 years ago, a guy died here, but maybe to them it's just right now.
You have done some work in terms of animal psychic studies. Tell me about that.
Well, not studies, but yeah, I do. Very often I hold little classes and whatnot and try to help people to kind of get in tune with their pet. And my daughter, she's a vet tech, and she's very good with animals, very perceptive of them. But I tell people, you know, if you've got a dog, you are, or a cat or animal, 9 times out of 10, you already know that this animal is in tune with you. You already know that they're feeling what you're feeling. For example, I had a little dog, bless her heart. She's passed now. She was this little senior citizen, and she finally passed on. And, yes, in fact, I do think their spirits sometimes still stay around. And people will tell you all the time about, you know, sensing them, feeling them, and whatnot. And sometimes I do believe, yes, in fact, that they do come back to us in a different form. But back to this story, I had a dog, loved yard sales. I am not making this up. The dog would know when I had to go to it, when I was going to a yard sale, because I'm big on them. I'm not going to lie to you. I love them. So anyway, she would be nowhere in sight. I would make up my mind. We'd be going out. You know, it's not like to have them every day. They have them, you know, sometimes and you want to go. And the dog would come out of nowhere, would knock you down getting out of the door to get to the car before you did to go where you're going. So, you know, she knew. And I had another little dog. All I had to do was think about clipping those toenails. Honey, she'd be in hiding the rest of the day. You know, they know. They're picking you up all the time. And what you got to do is you just kind of got to relax your mind and kind of hold your dog or cat, whatever, in your thoughts and kind of let yourself, for lack of a better term, George, maybe become them and kind of just see what you feel. Sometimes you might find out that you start getting things like certain physical ailments, or sometimes you might find you have certain worries. Sometimes you might even find certain dreams. I had a dog one time. Wasn't mine. It's somebody else's. I was reading. I'm not making this up. And, you know I say I'm not making this up a lot, but, in fact, I'm not making this up. The dog actually seemed to pretend that it was a wolf. The dog had an active fantasy life, evidently. And the thing
maybe it was a wolf in another life.
Maybe it was. And maybe it just had a call to the wild, you know. Maybe it just needed to be out there. But it was kind of interesting because I was surprised. But from other things that I was able to have them verify back to me, you know, it made sense. But, you know, it's like there's no way to say that you verify this and say, you know, you can't prove it. But there were other things that rang true with its people companions that, you know, did make sense. So,
have you heard stories of people who see either paw prints or cat prints on top of a bed where their favorite pet has passed on, but they can see the indentations moving along? Very weird. Or other people, they have, you know, maybe they've had a fire in their house, mm-hmm. and their animal who may have passed on wakes them up and mm-hmm. saves them. I mean, absolutely incredible stories of animal love of their families.
Absolutely. I hear things like this a lot. In my case, one of my little pets that had passed, actually, I had was reading in the bed. You know, your mind's wandering, not really wandering, but you're, you know, into what you're reading. And I heard my dog scratch on the side of the bed, which was nothing unusual. She would do that in her old days to get picked up to put on the bed. And I didn't really think anything about it at first. And then I looked over. I still didn't think anything about it because I was used to it. You know, I hadn't really got used to her passing. And I looked down to the side of the bed, and I saw her duck under the bed, which is what we used to call her warehouse, because she'd have all her things under there. And then it hit me. Wait a minute. She's gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't thinking about it. It wasn't like I'm thinking, oh, what is that? It just, you know, I forgot momentarily that she'd passed. And you know, again, I not only heard her, felt her, I saw her. And I think that little dog's still around me sometimes. I really do. And I think that's fine.
You know, before the program, Angela, I was outside, and it's a gorgeous night in St. Louis, almost a half moon, stars, you know, the rains blew through earlier today. And, I mean, it was just an incredible evening to just reflect on things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people do that, they tune themselves up psychically,
mm-hmm.
don't you?
I sure do. You know, I think that's so smart of you just to have realized that and to share that with others. And this is what I tell people. You know, I think, you know, there's cycles. I think there's maybe sometimes a cycle when we're supposed to take action and do things and maybe just take action without even thinking that much about it. But then there's other times, and the cycle can be in a period of minutes, days, weeks, months, whatever. But there's times when you have got to stop and you got to be. You got to think, and you got to, you know, what have I learned? And sometimes you don't do that. You do exactly what you just said, George. You just kind of absorb the peacefulness of a night, or absorb the thought of maybe your past, or, you know, of something you've experienced. And I think when you do that, it kind of lets things assimilate and, you know, kind of get in order. So then you can kind of better chart the way you're going, you know? That's what I look at.
Absolutely. And it also just, it's like steam off a pressure cooker, Angela.
Mm-hmm.
If you really know how to do it and know how to tap into it, it just changes your entire outlook. Whether you've had a bad week or a bad day or things just aren't going the way you want them to go, I mean, it just changes you. It makes you feel better.
That's right. I'm very glad that you believe that, too.
The demons you've dealt with, they aren't, the ghosts you've dealt with haven't all been good guys, good gal spirits, have they?
No, but for the most part, though, I think I try to focus on the positive. But, yeah, sometimes you get more of mischievous kind and, you know, annoying, and then sometimes you get outright bad. You know, and that's the kind I really don't want to mess with, because I feel like they have an advantage. And so I will for example, help if I can with somebody with the cleaning of a house spiritually or whatnot, if they have that problem. And but I like doing it at a distance. You know, there's certain things that if you are adversarial towards them, you know, you're going to get that back, and you really don't want to engage with that. But for the most part, rather than outright evil, because I will leave, you know, I'm not going to engage with that. I'm not going to. It's not my job. I will pull down, I think, what are my guides, my angels, to assist in that. That's, I feel like they are better equipped at that kind of battle. But sometimes I think that if you're really in a bad situation, you know, if you're really miserable and unhappy, you will maybe a lot of times stir things like that up,
sure,
too.
Have you looked at photographs and tried to analyze orbs at all in your career?
Yeah, actually, I have. And on my website, for example, there is a picture now of an orb that's touching me. And that was one of those more naughty spirits. And that was at a different place over in Asheville, actually, another hotel, where I was with actually Josh Warren doing a little paranormal investigation thing over there.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, there was, that place is crawling with stuff too, and it's again.
What are orbs? What are orbs?
The orbs, they're different things. Now I'm going to tell you. Sometimes orbs are just reflections of light off dust, you know, or water, moisture. But it is also at times pure energy, and pure energy as in the form of a disembodied spirit, for example, and it's going to assume that shape, and that's the orb in that picture on my site. At that place at where we were, I told them, I said, I feel this spirit, and it is here, and it is very, it felt wicked to me in a way that I do feel it was like, you know, the kind that would just soon shove you down some steps as not to kind of thing, you know. And I'm telling them, this is where it is. Now, they looked at their digital cameras, and they could see it moving. They could not see it with their naked eye. But when they looked through their cameras, they could see the orb moving around. And it came up, and I told them, I said, she's in my face. Now, what I was seeing was literally a terrible face. And I know they're just doing that to scare me. You know, they play with you. I was wound up, and they knew it, and they took advantage, and they created a more scary thing for me to witness. But they were in my face. The thing is, I'm seeing a spirit. I'm feeling a spirit, right? But now to them, they see nothing. They look through the camera, they see orbs. But when I said she's touching my face, you can see that she is. There is literally an orb sitting on my face. So this is not, you know, I hate to be me, but, I mean, this is my experience, and I can share with you from my personal experience that I do believe often that orbs are, you know, a sign of a spiritual presence. Not always, but often.
Is it electricity? What is it?
You know, it's pure energy. And again, I don't know how to really describe that, but a form of electricity, yeah, I think so. Static electricity. Static electricity that goes in the most simple shape in nature, which is, you know, the one of least resistance, which is, would be a sphere, an orb.
That's
although,
amazing.
Sometimes I think, you know, you can see them in motion, and they're more like maybe teardrop shaped or whatever.
Next hour, I want to take phone calls. What are you looking for from people?
And just whatever the mood hits. I don't like to control it that much.
Okay. All right. All kinds of psychic questions, ghost questions. You know, how come you never became an exorcist?
Well, now, I have had to do a little bit of that stuff, too. But, you know, again, I like to do a little bit of everything as I am required to do so. I kind of like to follow the energy and just kind of be led. I think that works best for me that way. But now, every now and then, I've had to tackle a thing like that or two. And I tell you, you know, sometimes you look at somebody and you think you're looking at a normal person, and you get to talking to them, and you look in their eyes, and you see something that don't belong. Now, that's kind of a creepy feeling. I'm not going to lie to you. But, you know, when that happens, and if it's meant to be that I'm to help that person in that way, it's like I think I'm given something and to help them, but they have to be willing to let it go, because I'm telling you, when that happens, you think people would want rid of it. Sometimes they don't, because they come so intertwined with it, they're not actually willing to let it go. And you can do what you can do, and or sometimes you can't. But now sometimes, George, in that kind of situation, people just need to be helped in a medical way, you know?
Well, that's true. Have you seen Joshua's new computer? Because I call it his ghost computer.
That's actually what he was talking about tonight. So, in fact, I did get to see that.
Yeah. I mean, it is an incredible piece of equipment that he's got. He brought it to the Queen Mary when I was with Joshua. And then he brought it on a sci-fi pilot that we taped. It's quite a piece of machinery, Angela.
It seemed to be.
We'll be back with you and phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie.